is just having a system that's stable when a snowstorm hit or anything happens in Texas. Having a stable system is in itself is a big thing, because that earns our trust, right? In the community that we are operating, that people can call in and not have their calls lost.
From InterSystems, it's the Healthy Data Podcast. I'm Jordan Cooper. To learn more about this and other episodes, please visit podcast.healthydata.com.
We're here today with Sunila Levy, the VP of Digital Healthcare Platform Strategy at Common Spirit Health. Sunila, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you, Jordan. Thanks for the opportunity.
So I know that I've looked online and you've had a variety of comments on behavioral health strategy. In particular, HHS released a roadmap for behavioral health integration. And at Integral Care, you've worked on modernizing and transforming a support system for a national suicide prevention line, where you've introduced new services. You've been working to implement a suicide ideation platform using Watson. I'd love to hear more about what you've been doing in the behavioral health space, how you've integrated that into AI and new tech, and what that means from a regulatory perspective, or how regulations have affected those efforts.
Oh, wow. Thanks, Jordan. Thanks for that question. I think that is so crucial. Behavioral health, mental health is so crucial at this time, especially as we come out of COVID and you hear of things that are happening with the teens, especially as well as the adult population. I think the impact of COVID on mental health, I think we'll realize that even years to come, I think it will be... Everybody has gone through a transformation, I think. And I hear of strategies that we are looking at saying, hey, what can we do post-COVID? COVID has transformed us. I think we should be really thinking about it holistically and saying, okay, where is the patient? What does the patient need? And how do we meet the patient where they are? I think the triad goals of healthcare still applies. Access, improving access to care still applies. Low cost and quality, but not compromising on quality. So those triad goals still apply. But to your question about mental health and Watson, what I've been doing, so, and introducing new services. So like I mentioned, I was thankful for the opportunity to modernize the call center system that was supporting National Suicide Prevention Line in Texas. So we were at an old legacy system, and the system would go down every, I think the last attack was 70 times in the last 3 years, which averaged out to two to three per month. So modernizing system was one thing, moving away from PRI to voice over IP. So there are technologies, call center, clouds technologies are there, but the value of the data that we are capturing through these call center is the most crucial thing, I think. And that's where I was able to, the Integral Care and we business as a partner, working with business as partner, was able to see the value of the data that presents the calls that are coming into the call center. And it's not like, there are no suicide ideation methodologies before. They were all done on a paper. Columbia assessment is done on a paper. You know, when the clinician meets with the patient, they give a Columbia assessment on a sheet to go through questionnaire, some 200 questions to go through to see where the mind of the patient is and is suicide ideation is happening there with the patient. So what we did with IBM was have those conversations. How could we, from the call center data, integrate that call center data with the suicide ideation data in the EHR system, and then see, is this patient ask those questions, elevate those questions to the call center representative so the call center representative can ask them, and as well as glean from the data that's captured in the call center using sentimental analysis, using algorithms and saying, is the patient at a risk for suicide ideation? So use the tried and true methodologies of the assessment sheets and the questionnaires that are in the assessment sheet, as well as integrate them and use the call center data with the algorithms, live algorithms and sentimental analysis to see if the suicide, if the patient is at a risk for suicidization. That, does that help?
It does, Sunila. And I'm thinking as you're talking, is this workflow affecting the, are there best practice advisories that are popping up for the call center representatives in real time that is guiding the care that they're providing these patients? And is that in addition to ex post facto care? So they call in and then a provider follows up a few days later to see how they're doing. Is it both cases?
It is both. It is both, Jordan. One is that's the intent of modernizing. I went to the board and modernized my call center system, not just for the sake of modernizing, but also having that value add services. So when a call comes into the call center, the call center knowing that, hey, this number is already in our system. So this is an existing patient. The patient has all these, again, using AI, using ML, using NLP, and saying this patient is already in our system. This is the name. This is the medication that the patient is on. So the workflow automation there to know your patient or a consumer, you know, moving from patient to a consumer, not just, oh, this person is calling in, but knowing that that person that he or she or they are a patient and a consumer, and connecting with them saying, hey, you've called yesterday, how are you doing, and knowing them. So it's that proactive real-time assessment of workflow, as well as retroactively after the call or during the call, real-time analysis and saying, hey, this call is showing symptoms of suicide ideation, and there is a risk there. So addressing it real-time as well as after.
So Sunila, you said that that these call centers, it's a national call center, but then I also know that you're working specifically with Common Spirit Health, and you mentioned that the call center is connected to an electronic health record at the healthcare delivery system. So is this for patients across the country with many different payers and many different provider access points, or is this mostly for patients just with who already have a Common Spirit electronic health record?
No, it's two different things. National Suicide Prevention Line is supported in Texas, and that's Integral Care. That's my tenure at Integral Care. So National Suicide Line ends in Texas, is supported by Integral Care, and that's what we are talking about when it comes to National Suicide Prevention. So any call that 988, so anywhere in Texas, 988 is used, it ends up into my call center.
And so how do the different electronic health records interoperate?
So Integral Care has, so our call center is integrated with the Integral Care's EHR system. Mm-hmm. And we were also working with the HIE, local HIE, to get all the EHR data as well. So okay, there are two different things, the local HIE, the state HIE, and then the Integral Care EHR systems that would integrate with the call center data.
Got it. Okay, thank you for clarifying. And I guess finally, just to pull all this together, I'd like to ask if there's any anecdote that sticks out in your mind that you could perhaps walk us through that demonstrates how the initiatives that you've worked on have led to positive patient outcomes. So have there been any times when one of these advisories has popped up during a call center and you prevented a suicide, or you had emergency outreach for a particular person in order to intervene in their crisis? Do you have an anecdote you could share?
You can say that for every single call, Jordan. The current state when I took on the CIO CTO role was the system was having outages. That means we were losing suicide calls just imagine the weight of it, you know, the suicide calls we were losing, the risk of losing a patient's life. So I think just, so one thing I would answer is anecdote, I would say, is just having a system that's stable when a snowstorm hit or anything happens in Texas, having a stable system is in itself is a big thing, because that earns our trust, right, in the community that we are operating, that people can call in and not have their calls lost. But above and beyond that, to answer your question, yes, we are, because of the system that's running and capturing all the data, and we were able to introduce new AI algorithms and services, one of the things where we were able to answer our stakeholder questions saying, are children calling in? So one of the example I would say is, capturing all this data and looking at this data and seeing if children are calling in with a food crisis during COVID, especially, what are the needs around the community and how can we meet? So that's another one. We were able to say, yes, children are under 13. So many calls are coming into our system in a given month. And this has been the experience, and this is what they're looking for. So that's one thing. And then other thing I would say is introducing algorithms like the suicide ideation prevention, as well as kidney disease risk. Harvard has a T-Chan School of Business at Harvard University has an open source AI algorithm for kidney disease prevention. And even that, introducing that model and looking at 4 to 6 points from the EHR system, and then laying out saying, if this patient stays at this level at these 4 points, then this patient is at a high risk for kidney disease risk. And then showing that back to the clinician on the EHR system, and they are having that conversation with a red, yellow saying, hey, this patient is at a high risk, or this patient, if he stays, is at a risk of developing kidney disease risk. That's a very good example that we've implemented, and the clinicians see and have the conversation with the patient back and saying, you have to improve your blood pressure level, the 4 to 6 points, and say you need to improve, otherwise you're at a risk of developing kidney disease risk. So many examples, Jordan, that enable patient care. And I think there is a lot of potential for AI algorithms, especially in the predictive model, say, and improving patient care. Does that help?
It does help. So on the topic of improving patient care, we've just spoken about mental health needs, which really exploded during COVID with isolation at home. Another topic that relates to COVID is the increased incidence of cyber attacks on healthcare centers. You've spoken in the past about good cyber hygiene. Could you elaborate for our audience, what is good cyber hygiene, and how have you been able to respond to cyber attacks to make your healthcare delivery systems more less impregnable from these attacks?
Yes, thank you for that. Thank you for that. I'm telling you, as CIOs, CTOs, as healthcare leaders, this should be on the forefront, because we have the most critical data, patient health information, PHI and PII. So I would encourage the leaders to keep that in mind. You have the most precious data, PHI and PII. And then the best hygiene, I approached it from enterprise architecture framework, business data, application and technology at 4 layers. How can I put in controls to secure my environment? But I would say very first thing, best practice, is clean out access. The 3 A's, right? Access, authentication, and authorization. So who has access into your environment? Just hone into that. Remove all excess access. Go through the list, do the groundwork, and clean up your access. And then other second thing is, after cleaning up access, is endpoint security, your access points, everything, address those security controls. And then I would also say is education. Have the education program for your end users, for your employees. Do those phishing tests, do the penetration tests. be up on those education and training and test aspects. So I would say those three basic controls, you know, access, make sure the systems that you have are accessed and authorized and authenticated to the user that they need to have. Just clean it up, clean up the closet of your security, I would say. And then second is that education, and then education and training, and then endpoints, your network access endpoints controls. So those are those basic three things, at least I would say, to start on.
Thanks, Danila. So that's cyber access security. You got to improve access, authentication, and authorization. You're involved in coordinating so many different entities. At Common Spirit Health, you've been driving strategy development work with 8 different CIOs, CSOs, and other C-level stakeholders across over 1,000 hospitals and clinics in 21 different states. Tell me about how you've been developing that strategy and what sort of factors are influencing your decisions.
So, Jordan, I do want to say that I've left Common Spirit, so that's my last tenure, so I'm not there yet at this time. But yes, that was one of my functions, is to oversee, to work with the 8 different CIOs and CSOs and lay out the workshops, strategy workshops, to work with their CSOs. So I would work with the CIO and CSO and set up the workshop for strategy planning. So really listening, I think the very first step is, as we as leaders, healthcare leaders, have to spend time with the business. So sit with the business and learn about their business. What are their strategies, 1 to 3 year strategies? What are their business is looking for? Is it, care? What type of care do they want to aspire to? So one of the divisions wanted to be, they want to reach their remote patient care. So really listening to the business, what are their business strategies, and then helping the CIOs saying, okay, these are our foundational strategies that can really align to the business strategy. So laying out those technology roadmaps, 1 to 3 year roadmaps, but delivering on the very first year will build the trust. So I would say listen to the business. So that's been my work, working with the CIOs, CSOs, setting up those workshops to learn from the business what their strategies are, and then aligning the technology, foundational services, at next level services, MVP services, and then 1 to 3 year roadmap technology services that align to the business and help them reach their strategies. So that's been the work. Does that answer your question?
It does. So you're coordinating among many different people. You're wearing many different hats. You began work as a Java developer. How common is it? What sort of unique insights do you have, having risen through the ranks, starting in the very front lines as writing code? What unique insights do you have into digital transformation, particularly around the 3 levers of business transformation that you've previously enumerated, which are human centricity, technology and speed, and continuous business innovation? How does your background as a developer help inform your meeting the business needs of the large healthcare systems?
The Java development experience has really helped me understand how the systems work together. You know, I wrote code, so I know how the systems are developed. Digital is a new delivery model. That's how we need to deliver. First, it was the Java web full stack environment where people would come in. It's a web 1.0, I guess, right? Or 2.0, where people would come and learn about the services. And that's the entry point. But now I think digital services is that digital front door. And it's not, after COVID, it's not one of, it's, it has to be, it, the digital front door, digital services have to be provided, so you are not stuck in the old traditional way of just come into our front door and that's how we provide services and not a digital front door. I think businesses, it's become imperative to the businesses to provide both open on-site services as well as digital services. So learning how the systems are built, and then looking at it, how we have evolved into providing new business models really helped me saying, okay, this is where we are and this is where we need to be. What's the new thinking? What's the new frameworks or thinking that we need to bring in to efficiently deliver through digital? So it's like, you know how to use the, you know, hammer and a nail, and then you can put up whatever you need, like the is it an artwork or is it a mirror or anything, but since you know how to operate the tools, you can support any type of model or delivery. So that's how I see it.
Well, Sunila, I appreciate that insight. We are approaching the end of this podcast episode, so I'd like to ask you, offer you a final opportunity to sum up a message that you'd like to convey to CIOs across the country who are listening right now at large healthcare delivery systems. What's going on with virtual health, digital strategy? What should CIOs be on the lookout for? What final message do you have for our audience?
So I would say healthcare is the best profession. So healthcare leaders, you're in the best profession of delivering care, because at the end of the day, it's towards patient care. So I think it's the best profession to be in. It's a profession of service. So I would say keep at it. I know it's healthcare right now is very hard and industry is very hard, but keep at it. Meet the triad goals of healthcare. That's the first thing. Second thing is, I think there's a lot of opportunity. We are data rich, but information poor. So I would say there's a lot of opportunity in healthcare, a lot of challenges, but a lot of opportunities. The challenges become opportunities. So I would say look into clinical optimization. That's where I think we can really provide value. Nurses, providers are struggling. So second thing I would say is look into opportunities of clinical optimization, and digital health platform, digital health services is a big player, and I think healthcare industry, healthcare leaders have to really pursue that. So open it, start up with digital services, virtual care as first, make your providers enable your providers virtual health, and then move on to virtual health products. Have a maturity plan, have a framework, start with one or two products, but then grow in that framework, and maybe one day opening up as an app marketplace. Once you have all your data and then you're able to open that data through APIs, you can create a maturity roadmap for an app marketplace. So there is a lot of maturity and growth in the digital health platform and digital services. So first is move towards providing the triad goals of healthcare. Second is look into clinical optimization through AI, ML, and just unburdening the nurses and providers. And third is digital. There is a lot of opportunity with digital and to grow in the digital maturity. Those would be my 3 points.
Well, thank you. This has been Sunila Levy, the VP of Digital Healthcare Platform Strategy at Common Spirit Health. We've covered a lot of ground today, from how to leverage digital data strategies and insights to address suicide ideation, and to leverage digital algorithms in order to alert providers in real time of best practice advisories in order to address the behavioral health needs of their patient population. We've also discussed AI-driven kidney disease risk models in order to, again, drive community engagement and health. And then we've spoken about cyber hygiene, business transformation, Sunila's time as a developer, and how to coordinate among a variety of different executive stakeholders. Sunila, I appreciate your time. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Jordan.
From InterSystems, this has been the Healthy Data Podcast. I'm Jordan Cooper. Thank you for listening.